प्रतिपदाय
अहम् कृष्णस्य जगतः
अहम् कृष्णस्य जगतः
प्रभवप्रलयस्तदा
एतद्योनीनि भूतानि
सर्वाणीत्युपधारय अहम् कृष्णस्य जगतः
प्रभवप्रलयस्तदा
एतद्योनीनि भूतानि
सर्वाणीत्युपधारय
अहम् कृष्णस्य जगतः
प्रभवप्रलयस्तदा
एतद्योनीनि भूतानि
सर्वाणीत्युपधारय
अहम् कृष्णस्य जगतः
प्रभवप्रलयस्तदा
मत्तः परदरं नान्यत्
किञ्चिदस्ति धनञ्जय
मत्तः परदरं नान्यत् किञ्चिदस्ति धनञ्जय
मयि सर्वमिदं प्रोतम्
सूत्रे मणिगणा इव
मत्तः परदरं नान्यत्
किञ्चिदस्ति धनञ्जय
मयि सर्वमिदं प्रोतम्
सूत्रे मणिगणा इव
मत्तः परदरं नान्यत्
किञ्चिदस्ति धनञ्जय
मयि सर्वमिदं प्रोतम्
सूत्रे मणिगणा इव In the previous shlokas, the fourth and the fifth shloka, Krishna was speaking about the two types of prakriti or two types of nature, as one as the external world and the second as the jiva or the indwelling self. So para and apara prakriti. So here Krishna concludes or in a way summarizes both, saying that whatever really exists is me alone. That's what the sixth and the seventh shloka. So this is that knowledge which can, as per Krishna's explanation in the second shloka, yajnyatva neha bhuyo anyajnyatavyam avashishyate, after knowing which there will remain nothing else to be known. So that is knowledge of, as we discussed, it's knowledge of everything, of the underlying reality of everything, that by knowing which everything becomes known. So if that has to if there is such a knowledge, then the duality that we are seeing has to be just an illusion, cannot be real. If duality or difference is real, then difference, wherever duality comes in, there are infinite possibilities, permutation or combination, we can put infinite possibilities. So infinite or complete knowledge of duality is impossible. So that's the reason why we find that in many cases or with many people in the world, people try to get a lot of knowledge. So they try to learn quite a lot of things. But the more and more they learn, the lesser they really know. That's the reason why Avayar, the famous poet devotee of Muruga, she said that katradu kai alavu kallaadathu ulaga alavu. So whatever I have acquired, whatever I have known is just handful of sand. Whatever is remaining is the entire world. So knowledge of duality is impossible. So man is trying, like through scientific ways and other ways, like man is trying to gain complete knowledge. So in the world, or the search is still going on and on about getting complete knowledge. So solar system, man is not content with whatever knowledge he has about Earth. So he tries to learn about Moon. So Moon knowledge is now complete because of many people landing in Moon. So now it's about going to Mars. So after Mars, it will be like the next planets. If all planets are done, it's just one galaxy, the Milky Way. There are many such galaxies. Like there is the nearest Sun, which is Sirius, if I'm right. So the nearest Sun, so that will have another galaxy. What happened? Yeah, so there will be another galaxy with respect to that Sun. So this goes on. That's why the entire word Ananta Koti Brahmanda Nayaki, that's the Nama of Amma. Ananta Koti, so it is infinite. Infinite, the very fact that it is infinite, the very fact that it is many itself is or has its essence as nothing. So if infinite possibility is like, let's just take a simple example, any simple example. So if I have to go from New Jersey to New York, assuming that New York does exist. So let's say that New York doesn't exist. So from Earth to Sun. So if I have to go from Earth to Sun, so what are the possibilities? So there may be like many ways, but still the number of ways is fixed. It's a number. It may be like huge, it may be 100,000 or 1 million, 1 trillion, or whatever is the maximum number that people have found. So zillion, I guess that's the maximum number, if I'm right, okay, zillion or something like that. Anything, it doesn't matter. So that many possibilities, it's a limited, it's a finite one. But let's say that Sun doesn't exist. So similar to Sun, somebody creates, like this is masculine, so I'll create daughter, I'll create a son called daughter, okay. Forget about the comparisons. So something like Sun 1 or Sun A, something else is there. That doesn't really exist, but we think it exists. So the possibilities to reach there is going to be many. I'm going to cross the Atlantic Ocean, go to the, not Atlantic, maybe Arctic Ocean and go to the polar region. Possibilities may be many because is there a polar region first? If there is no polar region, the possibility is infinite. The possibility is infinite itself means that such an entity doesn't, such a path doesn't exist at all, which means the goal doesn't exist. So when the goal is not there, that's why we find, like many times we find in our life that we try seeking something, we don't know what we are seeking, and that's when we say that I am confused, I don't know what to do. That's because there will be many possibilities. Oh, I can take up this, I can do that, I can do this, I can do a number of things. When there are many possibilities, that itself means that it is an illusion. So this world is infinite, there are infinite possibilities, there are infinite worlds in itself, 14 lokas, as the Hindu scriptures say, but other than that, there are many. So all those, we can't have knowledge of them, and the very fact that they are many itself proves that they are mere illusions. Unless somebody comes up with a greater or good logic that, okay, that there is a possibility like that. Oh, maybe I don't know. Of course, man is not such a fool that he'll not know about whatever is there. Like, whatever happens in Earth, we have like, there are ways to find out when tsunami hits. There are various scopes. Of course, it's called scope, endoscope, this scope. Okay, don't laugh too much. So there are many scopes, time will come. So there are many scopes. So amidst like all those equipment, man has progressed quite a lot to determine many things in the world or in earth in general, but still that's not complete. So there are like, man has the potential, but still he will always remain unsatisfied. His knowledge will be incomplete because infinite, if there is infinite knowledge also will be infinite, which means we can't really understand it. So the only way to understand that is by trying to know the substratum of this illusion. So we will want to know quite a lot of things. Oh, I want to learn music, I want to learn this, I want to learn that, I want to learn Sanskrit, I want to learn scriptures. Scriptural learning is also part of, okay, Shankara says it, Vedaha, Avedaha is what Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says. Shankara says the same thing, Viveka Chudamani, that even the Shastras are in the realm of Maya, in the realm of illusion, because Shastras itself means there are many Shastras, different works. So, Shastra Jnanam, let me get knowledge. So, as per Kanchi Paramacharya, if we have to learn just one Shaka of Veda, a particular Veda, there are Vishnu Purana or Padma Purana speaks about 1080 Shakas in total, of which 20 are extant. So, of those 20, if we have to learn just one, it will take an entire lifetime. So that means that knowledge also is incomplete. So, that means knowledge can be complete only when we know the substratum of whatever is there in the world, or whatever is the world. And that is the reason why, like we discussed last day, as to Krishna dividing or distinguishing the two entities, as Shankara says, Drik and Drishyam, Jagat and Brahman, or as per Krishna, Apara and Para. Apareyam itas tvanyam prakritim vidhime param. Para prakriti and apara prakriti. Para prakriti is Brahman, apara prakriti is Jagat. So para prakriti is one, apara prakriti is many. Para prakriti is real, apara prakriti is unreal. Para prakriti will give us anandam, apara prakriti will give us dukkam. So that is what Krishna is concluding here. So he is telling, we already discussed it, so it's kind of a repetition, but para and apara, what is the relation between para and apara? So, the relationship between para and apara is that of karanam or adhishthanam. So, one is the karyam, which is the effect. So, even as from mud, pot comes, the pot is the effect, mud is the cause. So, similarly, para prakriti is the karanam of apara, whatever we see as jagat. Brahman is the cause of jagat. So, it's not just a cause, because it is a cause, it is a karanam when we see the karyam. So, when we see the pot, we can say mud is the cause. But the moment pot ceases to exist, there is no causehood. So that is why even Sakshi Bhavam is Chetyo Paragadupa Me Sakshira Apina Tatviki. So, Advaita Magadanda says even Sakshi Bhavam is not real, because for Sakshi Bhavam, you need to witness something. So similarly here, pot is the effect, but mud is the cause only when the pot exists. If the pot is broken, then there is no causehood for mud. Mud exists, but causehood is not there. It's not a karanam. But that itself means that the karyam of pot is just an illusion, which means the cause of mud pervades the pot. The pot is only an illusion of just a name and form in mud, which means it is an adhishtanam or substratum. Even as water seen in desert. So the desert is a cause of water. Of course, desert has to be the cause of water, because water is seen in desert. But desert is also the substratum in which the water is seen. Similarly, Brahman is karanam and adhishthanam of jagat, which itself proves that Brahman is real, karyam is never real. So Brahman is real and jagat is unreal. So that is what Krishna says here. This karanam karya bhavam is what Krishna uses in these two shlokas. So etad yonini bhutani sarvani ityupadharaya. Etad in the sense the prakriti. Whatever Krishna spoke about prakriti, so apara and para both. So both can be said to be of one prakriti, which is maya. Okay, is para prakriti is Brahman. How can maya be there? So the moment we say apara, there itself para comes. But from the ultimate perspective, there is no para and apara. Brahman is one alone, so there cannot be any duality. So this distinction between para and apara, the distinction of Brahman and Jagat itself is caused out of Maya. So without Maya, there is no Brahman and Jagat, there is only Brahman. When Maya is there, both Brahman and Jagat will be there. We have to just get rid of Jagat. So, etat yonini bhutani. Bhutani, of all the beings in the world, yoni. This prakriti is the yoni. So, prakriti is the cause. Yoni means womb, is the meaning of yoni. So, prakriti is the womb of all these beings, sarvani. Iti upadhareya, know that. So, this both prakriti or in short we can say maya. But maya, does maya really exist? No. So, maya is just the power of Ishvara. So, taking Vidyaranya's many examples, a kulala, a pot, potter is there. So, potter has the power of creating a pot. So, that is maya. But the creation of the pot, like, it doesn't exist without the potter. Without the potter, there can be no pot at all. So, that means he has to, like, maya is also just the something which is there in Brahman. Somehow it is there, that's it. So, here when Krishna says prakriti, so we have to take it as Brahman. So, that's why Krishna, next line, though he says this prakriti, both prakritis, or in short maya, is the cause of, is the womb of all beings. So, again, like Krishna says in the 13th or 14th chapter, that I am the provider of the seed for the womb of prakriti. Prakriti is the womb. For that womb, I provide the seed, because without Brahman, there is no maya. So that means, aham, I am, krishnasya jagataha, krishnasya, krishnaha means entire or complete, jagataha, jagataha means worlds. So the entire worlds, aham, prabhavaha, pralayaha, I am the cause of prabhavam, prabhavam means creation, and pralayam of the entire world. So, the womb, what causes the world? What causes the world? Maya causes the world. What causes the Sakshi or the Kutastha? Of course, Maya, because without Maya, Kutastha becomes one with Brahman. So, it may be a little bit tough to understand, but we don't need to get confused so much and all. When the pot is there, the pot creates the Ghata Akasham, the space, pot space. So, pot is the cause of the pot space, not eternal space. Infinite space is always infinite space. When pot is there, it becomes pot space. Pot space cause is pot. Similarly, for Kudastha, para and apara prakriti, maya is the cause. And for maya, I am the cause of maya. So, I am the creator of the entire world. So, that means, I work through maya. I work through my own power of maya. That's why Krishna says, Ajopisan avyatma bhutanam ishwaropisan prakritim swam adhishthaya sambhavami atma maya. I depend on prakriti, maya power, and then I create everything out of my own maya. So, I am the cause of the entire world. Creation and destruction of the world, I am the cause. So, that means karanam. So, that is complete knowledge. So, by knowing karanam, karyam or effect becomes known. So, when we know mud, the qualities of mud, then automatically pot, whatever is a pot, like we can definitely know as to what the pot is, how it is, everything can be known out of it. Like going by the, or if we know gold, the gold in US is 14 carat, the gold in India is 22 carat, so it's quite simple. If we know gold, then the ornament, when we look at an ornament, oh, this is from US, right? Yes, it is 14 carat. You don't need any other knowledge. So, knowledge becomes complete there. So, with knowledge of the cause, knowledge becomes complete. The effect, we know the effect completely. So, that is this knowledge, that I am the cause of the entire world. That means, if you know me, everything is known. And who am I? And the same para prakriti in you. Para prakriti is, as Krishna said, that is the jiva, that's the life, vital force or the conscious force in each and every being. So that which the consciousness chit that pulsates in each and every being, that I am. So if we know that, then everything is known. And Krishna again clarifies, okay, if somebody thinks, oh, you are the karanam, you are just the cause Like you just create and destroy the world, but that doesn't mean you are the world. So he says, mattaha parararam. Mattaha means than me. Parararam, different. So different than me. Na anyat kinchit na asti. O Arjuna, know that there is nothing different from me. Of course, Shankara says in his commentary that there is no cause different from me. Chinmaya takes a different meaning there. But what it means that there is no cause different from me itself means that I am the cause of the world, which means I am the world. So Shankara doesn't explain it explicitly because maybe he would have thought, oh, this is some knowledge. Oh, these people even don't know that the effect is only an illusion in cause. I can't explain all those. So his level would have been higher probably. Or he would have thought, this is quite simple, come on. You just have to go to a goldsmith and ask him, okay, explain to me. If a potter can explain it, then why not us? So, therefore Shankara says it. But the meaning is just that there is nothing different from me. So, no cause, which itself means that the entire effect is me only. So, if the entire effect, the entire world is me, then there is nothing different from me. If there is nothing different from me, then when you know me, knowledge becomes complete. So Krishna says that para prakriti is there. Both are caused by maya. I control maya. I am the creator and destroyer of the entire world. And then he goes one more step to say there is nothing different from me. So with that, knowledge becomes complete. So if we can't understand, even by after hearing so much, if we can't understand that the entire world is just Ishvara, it's only one being, then Krishna enumerates few examples. He cites few examples, exhaustive examples, because he doesn't say just one. In the next 8, 9, 10, like 10, 11, I guess, if I'm right, till 11 or 12 shloka, 12th shloka. So 5, 6 shlokas, he speaks about different things. He says, I am this, I am that. So he enumerates things to show that, okay, whatever is there is me only. And if we have to understand, like how can we understand that, oh Ishvara, you are the cause, fine, but there is nothing different from me. But then what about difference? What about duality? So the duality is just an illusion in the non-duality. So even when we are experiencing duality, we can experience non-duality there itself. So that is what Krishna says. Even as, like there is a, we have a necklace, we have a necklace or some bead mala we have, and in that mala, like there is a thread and there are beads. So the thread connects all those beads. So thread is what is that which connects. It is common. Okay, we shouldn't, going by the example, we shouldn't say, oh, the bead is different from the thread, or is the bead thread itself. Okay, there cannot be any perfect examples. Example itself means it will be limited to certain things. So here it means that the thread is common for all the beads. Thread is that which supports all the beads, and that thread we can see in between beads as well. So that is what Shankara says in Laghu Vakya Vritti as well, that if we have to experience Brahman, if we want knowledge, if we have to get realization temporarily, does realization exist? Does Sadvitiya Satyam exist? Then we just have to vikalpanam, vikalpa nirodham. We have to just get rid of thoughts. So if we get rid of thoughts, so Shankara says that, like when the previous nashte purva vikalpe tu yavat nanyasya udayah nirvikalpaka chaitanyam spashtam tavat vibhasate. When an old thought is lost, a new thought hasn't come, in that gap, even as between two beads, one bead has passed, the other bead is yet to come, in between we can see the thread. Similarly, if we do vikalpa nirodhanam, old thought is gone, new thought has not come, we can see the state. That is just experience, of course. The bead itself is an illusion. If thoughts are illusion, then at any point of time, we just need to remember in the mind that, okay, these are illusion, that is enough. In order for us to know that there is no water in desert, we don't have to like touch it. We can know, like we have, there are logical ways of finding it out. Oh, he ran behind the water, he couldn't find it. I also tried once. So I know, okay, this is not it. This is too good to be real, like we use in American terminology. Too good to be real. So it's too good, like there are waves. So how can there be waves in desert? There cannot be. So it's not real. So that is enough. Logic is there. Of course, everything has come from Ishvara. That means Karanam. So the Karanam is Advitiyam. Karyam is just an illusion. So that is enough for us. But Krishna also says, gives the same example that even as all threads, like now all beads are connected by the same thread, similarly the entire world is connected by this one thread, which is Ishvara, which is Brahman, which I am. I am in the sense that I in each person is the same thing. So that is what is called in Vedanta Sutratman. In some places Sutratma, Vidyaranya uses that term. And indwelling self, Antaratma is another word for it. Hiranyagarbha is yet another word for it. There are many words for it. Those all mean the same thing, the essential self. The self which connects all existence. So the thread that connects existence is what? Of course it has to be existence. Pure existence is what connects existing objects. Existing objects, the common thing between existing objects is existence. The common thing between conscious objects is consciousness. So that is, the world exists. If the world exists, the entire world exists, what connects the objects of the world is existence, pure existence, which is this. But when, if we see the bead, we cannot see the thread. So we have to go beyond the bead. So if we see duality, if we consider things as different, then we cannot get this knowledge, the knowledge of underlying reality. And as long as we don't get the knowledge of underlying reality, we will not get this knowledge, the knowledge that Krishna says, that knowledge which is complete, which can make us complete. So for complete knowledge, we have to always remember that this is how it is, like the world is just an effect in Brahman. So effect is only an illusion in the cause. So that means everything is a cause. So nobody needs to just by heart or accept it because I said or because somebody else says. Even Krishna says, as Krishna says at the end. So, iti te jnanam akhyatam guhyad guhyataram maya. Iti te jnanam akhyatam, I have thus proclaimed, propounded to you knowledge, guhyad guhyataram, guhyad guhyataram. So secret than the guhyataram, secret than the most secretive. So it is the most secretive knowledge I have given to you. Vimrishya etat asheshena vimrishya. Analyze, go through, like use yukti, use as much yukti as you want, analyze it as much as you want, analyze it in whatever way you want, and then do as you please. So nobody will, Vedanta doesn't force a person to follow something just because it seems appealing to one person, doesn't mean other person has to follow it. But it is Krishna's promise in the second shloka, which he has fulfilled with the seventh shloka, that of course this is the knowledge, after knowing which, there will remain nothing else to know, because I don't need to know pot. I am creating a new pot. It is called hybrid pot, like hybrid cars. I am creating a new pot, hybrid pot. What is it, hybrid? It's like the beach sand and normal mud. Okay, doesn't matter, I know mud. It is all mud. What is mud? It's, mud is not silica, sorry. I don't know the chemical composition of mud. So the chemical composition of mud, I know it. So that's enough, like I don't need to know anything else. So that is complete knowledge. That when we know that the entire world is one entity, then we don't need to know anything. That doesn't mean like actions need not happen. That doesn't mean we shouldn't do things. That doesn't mean we should stop everything and just go into solitude. That's not what Vedanta says. We don't have to do that. Because this is not external knowledge. It's not something that has to be implemented. bhajan, like it is external, we have to sing. We can't go to a bhajan and say, oh, I have lot of bhakti, I like lot of bhajan, and sit there, just close your eyes and sleep or do meditation. Then there is no point in telling that I attended bhajan. Bhajan means you have to sing. Dhyanam means you have to sit in meditation. So all those, like, if you go to temple, you can't just sit there. If you just sit there, then they'll say, after some time, they'll say, oh, are you sitting here? Oh, I came to see the deity. Oh, you saw, right? Go. That's how it would be. So if we go to the temple, we have to do the normal routines, whatever it is to be done there, we have to do it. So that is with respect to the everything in the world has, whatever activities we do in the world, we have limitations, we have norms for it. We can't just ignore it. Oh, everything is Brahman, I can ignore it. So try going to a Subway and saying, oh, I need food now. Everything is Brahman, give me food now. They'll give food, they'll throw you out, they'll give mud food. And then you have to say, oh, Krishna said, Krishna ate mud and said everything is Brahman, so let me also try that out. So, unfortunately, the doctor will not see the entire world in your mouth, he'll see something else. So that won't happen. Therefore, activities or actions in the world have limitations, but for this there is no limitation because it's something which is internal. That is where Shravana Manana and Dhyasanam, that is something that is something that is part of, that is jnanam, it is not karma. So karma has limitations, as Shankara says, kartumma kartum anyada va kartum, by doing, not doing, or doing it in a different way. And limitations as to, there are many factors to a karma. If I have to speak, the karma of speech is also dependent on a lot of things. Oh, it doesn't matter whether I speak about Brahman or I speak about Obama, it doesn't matter. If I am speaking, there are other factors to it. I need a house to speak. Place, sorry. Pardon me. Place. Dais. Dais or whatever is the right word. So I need a place to sit. And is that it? No. I need some water to drink in between. Then I need people, attentive people. In front. If without any people, like, how can I? Yeah, I can talk to the wall, but then like I'll become Jnaneshwar. So I can then say, oh, Jnaneshwar already tried that, I need something new now. So let me talk to the laptop. Oh, laptop was not there at that time, so let me try that out. Yeah, that would work. But limitation is there. There should be somebody to listen. There should be somebody to listen, and then I can't go to a library and start speaking. Can't go to the court. So if you go to the court, and then even if you wear your hat, they'll say to remove it. If you wear your coat, they'll say, remove the coat. It's cold, but still you have to remove. That's the norm there. You can't say no. So there are limitations even to speech, even if, though it is Vedantic action, but still there are limitations. But jnanam, or whatever Krishna is telling here, that is jnanam. Knowledge doesn't have any limitation. Of course, real devotion is real knowledge. So knowledge doesn't have any limitation at all. It can be done anytime. It doesn't, like, we don't have to, in order to get this knowledge, we don't need to get the syllables. We don't need to have a keyboard. We don't need anything. What we need is just a normal mind and just some thinking capability. Of course, that nobody, we can't buy anyway. So it is out of the question, you can't buy it. So there's no limitation. The limitation only is, okay, I don't have a proper intellect, I cannot analyze. Ooh, I can't think. But we don't have to learn Advaita Siddhi, of course, we know. There's no point in learning Advaita Siddhi also. So it doesn't need Advaita Siddhi learning or some highly logical work. We don't need to learn. What is required is just, okay, let me try it. Okay, I can't understand this. This is going above my head. But still, okay, that is fine. At least I'll try to. Since when it is like when it is going above my head, I'll try to, like I don't want to pay for cable, so I'll just the next house has cable, so let me try out a little bit. So like it is going above my head, but let me try to grab something, one or two, at least one or two. Oh, Brahman, Jagat, everything. Okay, that is enough for me. At least that is enough. So if things are not like working, if we can't understand, but still we can put our effort, we can try. Once we try, like, things will get better. So And this is not something that is that tough to understand as well. It's simple as per Balakrishna, even a child can understand. So we don't need to, like, if we go to a child and ask, oh, tell to it, like, it will understand. We can't understand because we have other things. Oh, how is it? Like, how is it? If everything is Brahman, then I should be able to play harmonium like Kunnakuni. Of course, then you have to put the puttu as well. If you are ready to put the puttu, immediately violin will start playing. Of course, it won't play proper Shruti. That will be wrong. So don't ask me. So, like, that, if we can at least try. So we can, if we like put an effort into it. So if lot of people, many people are understanding it, if many people are able to understand, then we can also try. Okay, if Amma from a fisher village, if he can understand, then why not us? Okay, don't go and ask her. I'll be in trouble, so don't ask that. So if Amma can learn, Balakrishna Menon, he himself could understand, then why not I? Teja Mayananda doesn't speak proper English, his English is awful. If he can understand, then why not me? If he can understand, we can also understand. So many people learn. Even when they are old, like my father, like there is a person coming called Abdul Qadir, he is a Muslim. So he is retired now, 60 or 70 or something. So he comes and my father and he both together, they learn Panchadashi and they are now learning Brahma Sutra. 60 years, 70 years, people learning Brahma Sutra. So then why not? Why can't we understand it? It's simple. If they can do it, then you're not that old. Of course, we have other things in our plate, but still, if they can understand, their intellect can understand, then we can also try to grasp. At least we can put an effort, and this is not, as Krishna says here, it's not much, it is simple. He is telling, he's not giving complex calculus or integration and all. He is saying some simple concepts, that's it. Cause, effect, he can easily understand. Mud, pot, simple. If we can't understand, we can go to the goldsmith, but go at your own risk, because then if you go there, he'll say, oh, everything is good, but I think, like, gold in the form of a ring will be good for you. Everything is gold, right? So keep this. And then he'll take money. So don't ask me, like, as to what happened wrong there. But if you just go and ask, okay, what is the truth? Then he'll explain. Okay, is this, go to him and give him two ornaments and then say, okay, can you just compare, like, what is the difference between both? Then he'll say, oh, difference? But this is 14 carat, this is 22 carat. He'll not say, oh, well, this is like, that is old fashion, that is new fashion. So he'll not say all those things. He'll just say, okay, this essentially it's gold only, but some impurities are there somehow. Like somebody cheated you. They said it is pure gold, it's something else. They said they'll give you pure Vedantic knowledge, they gave something else. And that is now useful only to teach others, like I am doing. So try teaching others. If nothing works, then try preaching. And there is always like scope for Vedanta. Vedanta is something like which is, any person, like if you don't have anything else, you can start a site, you can start posting things with somebody to come. Of course. If you have a violin, it's an added advantage. You can say, I'm composing. I'll compose the 7th chapter of Gita. So, jokes aside, it's very simple. It's not that tough to understand. This is a simple concept of cause-effect analysis. It's there even in the world. We try to analyze. So, when we were in school, like we learned about what Big Bang theory, the expansion theory, that the universe is expanding. And then all of a sudden somebody will say, oh, no. Like, the amount of water is getting reduced. Earth, like, land is going inside. Each year, 1 kilometer. India is, like, merging 1 kilometer into Pakistan. Yes, that is truth. If you want, you can search in Google. It's the truth that land, like, the water space, I don't know how to say, like, there is water in between land. So the land is moving closer. So if you search in Google, you'll find that earlier India was separate, a different continent, but continents are merging slow at a very slow rate. So that's that's not expansion theory, but internally it's something else, contraction. So there are many theories, Big Bang theory, this theory, that theory. There are many theories that we understand, like we try to find out, gravity. So if we think about it, like if we may think, okay, it is logical. So if we can understand that and approve gravity, because Newton said it, we should definitely approve this, because what is gravity? How can there be any gravity? Gravity means something on top, something above falls to the ground. Is there any ground in Earth? Go beyond Earth, there is no ground. Where is ground? Ground itself is a relative term. So that's why it's everything, as per Einstein, everything is relative. So it is relativity, there is no ground. So such foolish things we can say, oh, 0, 1, 2. Who came up with 1? Who came up with 1 plus 1 is 2? Who came up with the number 0? Somebody said, okay, don't ask me like whether the scriptures, rishis found out, that I don't know. I don't want to come at that. So, like, we can believe, like, we do believe a lot of such things. We believe quite a lot about it. And like people saying, okay, sun, you can't go near the sun. Do we really know that we can't go near the sun? We don't know. Somebody gave a calculation. Somebody said, oh, it's this warm. So try staying in Chennai, then you will know. Then you will not ask about going to sun. So somebody said like this, some comparison, we don't even know whether sun is that hot. The only thing is, conclusion, the logical conclusion that we are getting heat from sun. Oh, if I keep a mirror here, like I can burn a piece of paper, that itself means sun should be hot. Who knows? Just outside Earth, there may be something else which is heat in nature and then which is burning. It may not be sun. Because we only know till Mars. After that, we don't know. We just know things that are perceivable by the eye. So we have, like, in the world itself, we accept quite a lot. Many things are concluded through logic by assumption. There are many assumptions, even Newton's three laws. Everything is all based on assumption. Inertia, law of inertia. So based on the assumption that nobody, inertia, that means movement. Everybody, like, it's against movement, I think, right? What happened? Yeah, that's inertia, against inertia. So that assumes that inertia is there. How do we know inertia is there? Because you want to move. Then we like, this Chinmaya would say, oh, I have met people in... Okay, if we want, like, we can go to Amma's ashram and find out the Swamiji who is still meditating below. Please. So we can go to Himalayas and we can find people meditating for many years. Without any inertia. Oh, no, they also move. Why? Earth is moving, they are moving. In that case, Earth should have inertia, not me. Not a person. So there are assumptions, like any law, any principle, any concept has assumptions. So assumptions are essential, but the end goal is what really matters. And in Vedanta, there is no assumption. So these are all not assumptions. Nowhere we can find that assuming that the world is changing, assuming that the world is the effect, Brahman is the cause. So Vedanta doesn't say, clearly says, yes, there is the cause. There is no assumption in Vedanta. There is, of course, logic. Even in the logic that is explained, the Karana Karyam, the logic also doesn't have any explanation. There is no assumption. There is no assumption at all. It's complete. That's why this is, as Krishna says, it is complete knowledge. Knowledge about physics or knowledge about other things will not give us contentment. It cannot give us complete knowledge because there are a lot of assumptions. There are things that are beyond our realm. There are things that we know. There are things that we don't know. Like as Balakrishna and I say, scientists will say, oh, like what about my other beings? What do you say? No, as far as we know, there are no other beings. So there itself assumption is there. It will seem like, oh, there are no other beings. It's not. As far as I know, there are no beings. As far as I know, that means limitation. Limitation or assumptions are part of the world. And if we can accept that, we can definitely accept it. If we can assume, if we can take it for granted that, like the sign, Like when we go back, like the sign that says Route 1 North, we'll really go to Route 1 North, then we can definitely accept what Krishna says. And it's been, of course, like Route 1 North, it's been tested. This also has been tested because people are so helpful to others when it comes to these things. So they'll say, oh, no, don't go, like don't look at the sign there. Signs are misleading, so don't look at the signs. Of course, there are people who are so helpful that they'll say, go by the signs, they are good, they'll be so helpful. Signs are perfect, even as Vedanta is perfect, signs are also perfect. Follow them. You'll realize the goal. You'll realize that what I said is wrong. So that will be it. So, if we can accept, if we can acknowledge things in the world, a lot of things, such things, simple things, we just go to sleep. Simplest thing is we go to sleep and we assume that we'll get up. We say to the other person, oh, I'll meet you tomorrow. Oh, Amma, I'll see you in November retreat. We don't know whether we will be there. We don't know whether Amma will be there. We don't even know whether Michigan is there. Tomorrow somebody decides, okay, after 9-11, oh, Amma's place. There, the violin player is coming, so let me try to spoil it. So let me have a suicide bomber. And I already have a person ready for it. So immediately Michigan is gone. So there is no Michigan, there is no retreat. But we say, oh, I'll see you tomorrow. Simply we say, okay, I'll see you tomorrow. Of course, we are so young that like we wouldn't have faced the situation where we would have said to somebody, oh, we'll see tomorrow, and then like we would have realized, oh, I regretted, I should have seen him that day itself. I should have said, no more Gita class now itself. I did a big mistake. I regret it. So something like that, that will, like, since we are young, we don't face it, but I faced because one of my friend passed away, but I haven't faced it myself. Though, like, those are cases like when you find that, okay, some, like, you see one person today, you don't see tomorrow. So, within minutes, things get changed. But still, we assume that things will be fine. We can acknowledge that worldly existence is going to be real. We can acknowledge that whatever we have in the world, the signs, the rules, the laws, all are real. We don't, like, nobody tries to defy gravity rules. Though Newton said we could, like, maybe if we have, we are somebody like Spider-Man, we don't know, like, maybe we are like Spider-Man or Batman, we can try and jump, but we don't do that. We just assume that it is right. And there have been cases, like, more than one cases where people have been proved wrong. The case of Big Bang Theory, or even Newton and others, they were not accepted at their time. At their time, like it, when somebody said Earth is round, people started saying, oh, you're going against Lord, you're going against Ishvara, it's not true, Earth is flat. And then people have been killed for it, but still, they've been proven wrong. I mean, who knows, like we think that Earth is round, some images and all, we don't know. Maybe Earth is not round. So Earth is flat, Earth is round, Earth is cylindrical. Tomorrow it may be something else. So don't start tomorrow then, Earth is nothing. Of course, that is already there. The Buddhas accept it, so you will not be the first person. Only that, you will have to shave your head for that. You have to become a Buddha. So we do accept, like, jokes apart, like all these situations, like, we don't really need to go into, or I don't have to explain all this, but the reason I'm explaining all this is just that if we can accept all these, then it's very easy to accept this. And of course, rather than or compared to worldly laws or worldly things that we accept, this is something if we accept 100% guarantee. 100% or 200% guarantee, we can say. If we want, like if it 100 and 200 is the same, I don't know what's the difference. It's going to be the same after realization. But it is a guarantee that has been, it's something that has been tested throughout time. Like there always have been Mahatmas like who have experienced it, who are experiencing it now. So it is something which is tested and it is proven as well. So there is nothing wrong, or there is no point in us not accepting it. And after knowing it, there is no point. Like, at least we should give it a shot, we should try it. So we do a lot of things in the world. We try out things, like when we buy something, like we say, oh, I don't know whether this is good, but let me try it. So we'll try it. Of course, here people do it, like I know people do it. They'll buy something, keep it for, they'll, of course people have done. So buy a DVD player, like you have a 1 month return. So buy a DVD player, see movies as much as you want, and then return it back. Let me try it, and then I'll give it back. So we do that. We can try it out, but this if we don't try it out, there is no point in like being in the spiritual path or being in the world itself. As Shankara says in Viveka Chudamani, such a person is committing suicide each and every minute because he is not realizing his self. The way, the path is there, the path has been set. The way to achieve the goal also is there. Okay, what is the way? Simple. Always remember that the effect of world is only an illusion in the cause of Brahman. So the duality or the difference that I see is just something which is temporarily there. Let it be there. Let me accept it. Let me go through it. Let me experience it. But along with remembrance that, okay, this is not real. So even as an actor plays his role to perfection, knowing that, though he knows it's not there, but still he doesn't say, like, people don't say, oh, I don't want to act. Why? Because I die in the movie. I don't want to act. So nobody does that. Suppose Shah Rukh Khan became a superstar, like, dying in the movie. There are many such movies, initial of his movies. So he, like, people do that. So though they know that it doesn't exist, still they do it. Because they have the knowledge that it doesn't exist, so it doesn't matter whether they do it or not. So it doesn't matter whether I drink it or I don't drink it, because there is nothing in it. Seriously, truly there is nothing in it. It's done. But I can like say, oh, let me give them an illusion that I am drinking. Can drink, of course. Can try out. There is nothing wrong in trying to doing or not doing. And we don't have an, as Krishna says, we don't have an option with respect to actions. We have to go and we have to do actions. For example, like I have to stop speaking, there is an action that I have to do, I don't have an option. Things will start flying from here and there. So I have to stop it. That is something I don't have an option. But I can say, oh, let me try to extend it as much as possible. Let me test the patience of people. Let me try it. I can do that. Knowing that something will fly, so I can at least be ready. And whenever something starts flying, immediately, slowly walk off. So that means actions, we don't have any option of whether to do action or not action, continuously happen. We can't stop it. Things do happen, like even if man decides that, oh, well, like I have been revolving quite a long time around the sun, let me stop. I'm tired of this revolution, so let me stop. Let me create a revolution of not revolving around the sun. There's no option there. You have to revolve. There is no other way. The only thing is, know that you are revolving and be happy with it. So actions, we don't have any option of whether to do or not to do actions, but we do have the option of remembering that action is just something which is temporary. Actions will go on, but if everything is Brahman, then where is action? So if everything is one, if there is no duality at all, then where is the Bhedam, where is Ragam, where is Dvesham, where is happiness, where is Sukham, where is Dukkham? There is no Dukkham or Sukham, because this is just temporary. If everything is one, that is the state of Anandam. So that will always be there, irrespective of whether we are doing some action or not, whether we are learning Vedanta or not learning, whether we are in an island or whether we are in Disney world or somewhere else, some beautiful places. It doesn't matter where we are, because it doesn't really matter, it is just an illusion. So that doesn't mean, oh, it doesn't matter, so come on, tomorrow we can go to the jail. Okay, I don't want. Here and jail is one, so let me stay here. Let me take the advantage. So when it is time, I can go to the jail. So we don't have to fall into trouble, but actions do happen. We just have to have the knowledge that everything is Ishvara. So that is what Krishna says. It's a very important shloka, the seventh one. Mattaha paravaram nanya kinchidasti dhananjaya. So my personal opinion is this is one shloka in Gita which clearly says that there is no duality whatsoever. Or nehana anasti kinchana. In Katha Upanishad, that is the same thing that has been explained in Krishna very beautifully, that there is nothing different from me. And that me is the underlying self in all beings. That is the reality, that is the cause, that is the substratum of the entire world. So this is a statement which we have to definitely remember, that at any point of time, mattaha paradaram nanyat kinchidatsi dhananjaya, O Arjuna, there is nothing different from me in the entire world. Yes, Chinmaya does interpret it differently. Maybe Paramartha also interprets it differently. It doesn't matter. That is, Katha Upanishad says, so it would make sense to interpret it in the appropriate way, that there is nothing different from me in the entire world. So as per me, that is the meaning. Okay, don't come tomorrow and say, Chinmaya says it differently. Can you comment on it? I have no commenting on it. Don't come back to me saying, okay, he says that. It doesn't matter. Ultimately, what matters is, this is that knowledge that as per Krishna, this is that knowledge which can give us, which can make us complete. And once we are complete, we don't have to compare. Oh, Krishna, Chinmaya says, okay, that is fine. Let him say. Let him say so, that is fine. If Shankara says, okay, let him also say. Oh, Balakrishnanaya says, let him also say, it doesn't matter. Ultimately, it doesn't matter what a person says, how he says. What really matters is whether that is truth. And more than that, what really matters is whether we are able to imbibe that truth, as Krishna says here. This truth, we are able to imbibe it and become complete. Unless we become complete, oh, I can explain Makta Paradharam Nanyat. Oh, there are three different interpretations. Shankara gives one interpretation, Chinmaya gives another, Haridwam gives another, and tomorrow somebody else, Rajesh gives another musical interpretation he gives with respect to violin, the bow, the string. So he gives a beautiful interpretation. I know all these interpretations, but I don't have happiness. So that shouldn't be the case. So it doesn't matter how we interpret it, but what Krishna is telling here is that everything is essentially one thing. The duality or difference is just apparent, it is not real. So reality is that it only one entity is present here. And knowledge of that one entity, of course, how can we get knowledge of that one entity? By knowing that Jagat is Mithya, by constantly negating duality in our mind, internally telling that there is no duality at all, I am one with Brahman, that itself immediately it will give Anandam, and that will, as we constantly do it over a period of time, it will become what Vedanta says as Jivan Mukti, or will be established in constant remembrance of this truth. And that is the knowledge that will make us complete over a period of time. After a period of time, in due course, we'll become complete. And this is something that any person can experience or try it out. At least, it's nothing like we try out quite a lot of things. We look out for jobs, we look out for marriage. There are many people looking out for marriage, there are many people looking out for house. So all those, like, we look out for a lot of things in the world. So let us try it out. If we try it out for some period of time, that itself will boost us, that itself will give us peace, which is addictive, which will make us again want to practice it more. So we'll continue with the next shlokas, where Krishna enumerates these, like, these four shlokas is knowledge. So not four, these, the sixth and the seventh shloka. In particular, the first half of the seventh shloka, Matta Paravaram Nanya, that is that knowledge which has implementation also in it. So that is the knowledge that will make us complete. But In order to explain that, Krishna explained it through the fourth and fifth para prakriti, apara prakriti, and Ishvara being the cause. And then in the next few shlokas, he'll also explain or enumerate things to prove that nothing is different from Ishvara, and then even give us the way how to proceed or progress from being a worldly person and becoming established in this knowledge. If we can understand till this, like if we can just understand this portion of the of Gita, or the seventh chapter of Gita, that half shloka of Matta Paradaram Nanya, then the rest of the shlokas in this chapter, we don't even need to learn. There's no need. Of course, that is entire knowledge also, so we don't need to learn. So next week you can decide not to have any Gita class, it's fine. It's very perfectly fine because this is complete knowledge. Except that it has to become clear and we have to abide in it. So we'll continue later. Namaskar. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Shri Gurubhyo Namah.